and her son, her two daughters and her son here by 8:05 this morning. So that was her best accomplishment so far. So we welcome Mandy Vieira.
Good morning. How are you guys doing? Okay, so this is the service to come to. I'm sorry, you're not going to like me today. The people in the back, they try so hard and I still make a mess of the sound. Good morning. Pastor Jason is right. Getting here by 8 o'clock was an accomplishment. I have to be at work at 8 o'clock every morning, and I'm late every morning. And I carpool with people, so they're late every morning. I do try. I have really good intentions. And so I text Jason on the way here, and I said, I'm on my way, and my kids are dressed, and their teeth are brushed, but they have not eaten, and their hair is not combed. But they took care of that when we got here, so it was perfect. It is a privilege to be here. This is kind of where I grew up. This is my home. I moved here for college. I came down from Washington. And who was here during the Laverne days when we were at the Church of Laverne? Few of you. Perfect. Kathy, I think you sit in the same seat that you've always sat in. So I remember demolishing this place. In fact, I remember once we had it for a while because we had to take it apart. And so we were doing a Halloween scavenger hunt with the youth. And I had this handful of boys that were new for the first time. And Christine, I don't know if any of you know Christine, Pastor Craig's wife very well, but she loves to scare people. She has this thing about it. She loves to do it. And so she found this mask and a cape, and it was late at night, and she was hiding inside, and there's no lights because the place is out. And I probably shouldn't even have brought them here, but I did. And they followed that candlelight, and she popped out, and the kid swung at her. And so we never did that one again. But so it's good youth days. So I definitely, Craig and Christine raised me. Craig taught me how to do ministry. And it wasn't until later when I was married that I learned that Christine taught me how to be a wife and a mom. And so wherever you're at, glean everything that you can and build relationships. Because I still call Christine and ask her how to make things. I still, even how to do laundry. She helps me do everything. I also was here for a long time. Craig really taught me how to be humble where I'm at. So I've done a few different things in the church. I've served in different areas. But no matter what, Pastor Craig's heart for people and for God is just amazing. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, what a blessed church that you have a man that so desperately wants to hear from Jesus for not only himself, but for you. And so I'm so thankful that he allowed me to come back here and be a part of it. I wish that I could have seen them, but I guess it's important that he's at his daughter's graduation. Yes, we'll let it slide this time. We're going to spend a little bit of time in the Gospel of John, the fourth book in the New Testament. Feel free to open to it, although you will have it on the Sky TVs up here, so you can follow along there also. We're going to spend some time in John 2. It's when Jesus turns water into wine, and it is one of my favorite ones now that I've really spent some time in it, and it's funny, but here's my favorite thing about John. Is he knew who he was. So if you're reading through, you'll see that there's a couple times that he calls himself Jesus' favorite. And I love that. That you could even write a book and say, like, oh, I'm Jesus' favorite. I feel like if I wrote a book, that's what I would, that's mine. I tell people that, like, oh, I'm Mandy, I'm Jesus' favorite. He's, who are you? Okay, good. Oh, you know what? I totally didn't introduce my family. I'm so sorry. Will you throw the picture up of my family? Important things. This is my family. They're so cute. So when I was here, obviously I did want to get married, but I never wanted to have kids. I was not interested. I just wanted to travel and have fun and not have to worry about bills. And then that changed, and I have three amazing children who I am so madly in love with. My husband, his name is Jared Vieira. He is one of the wisest men that I know. He's also... ready for this? He's really good at holding his tongue. He's very introverted, and so I know there's things that he wants to tell me that he just does not tell me. He's a very wise man. He would agree with me. If he was here, he'd be like, mm-hmm. He's funny. He's great to be around. He is an entrepreneur. I had no idea what I was getting into, but my life is full of adventure. We are starting businesses left and right. It feels like, oh my gosh, I can't even talk. And then I have three amazing, beautiful children. Wyatt Azariah is going to be six pretty soon, and he is just a kook. He's crazy. He loves dinosaurs. He walks around with dinosaur hands. And he is very justice-oriented, and he loves Jesus. He loves his family. And then I have two little girls. They're twins, Aubrey and Addie, and they are the sweetest little things. Aubrey's a little bit dramatic. She's got a little dramatic flair in her. She is funny. She is crazy and loud. I mean, she is loud. And we just realized that she has lots of tears to cry. She's stubborn. She looks a little bit more like... My mom used to tell me stories about myself, and now I'm like, oh, this is it. I can't even complain. This was me. And Addie is just the sweetest little girl. She is a mom to a T. I mean, if she is not going to be the mom of like 10 kids, I will be surprised. Every time a baby, any kind of baby comes along, even when we drove in, there was a small car, and she's like, a baby car. She loves babies. She thinks they're the best. So yesterday we went out in the backyard, and we live on a farm. And so a chicken had some babies. And so there was these little chicks like following her around, like following the mom around. And Addie was literally chasing them. And I'm like, baby, you stop. Like, you're going to freak them out. You're going to be attacked. But she just wanted to hold one so bad. So they're a lot of fun. They're my favorite people in the whole world. And I would spend every moment with them I can. They would probably get sick of me. But I would not get sick of them. It's fun. So it's great. They're adventurous. They're great. We live on a farm. They're really dirty. I feel like my kids will probably never be sick because they are in the mud and the germs and the dirt all the time. My girls, I just put a picture on Instagram. My girls like to pretend like they're puppies and kitties, and so they were drinking out of little cups on the floor. God, let them do it, you know. Whatever it's going to take to get them to eat and drink some milk, we're going to do that. If you're a parent, do you relate to that at all? Remember when people used to say, like, oh, all my kid eats is, like, pizza and chicken nuggets? And before you had kids, you're like, oh, my kids will eat broccoli. And then you had kids, you're like, praise, have another slice of pizza, honey. Hide the onions. It's good. It's my life. Not that I lie to my kids. I just hide things. Like, I had to explain that. So enough about us. We're going to spend some time in John, but I want to give some background to it before, because we're going to be talking about Jesus. So in case you didn't know, Jesus was born. It talks about it in the New Testament. And then some other things that happened, Luke 2, 22 through 30. Do you mind throwing that scripture up for me? It's this time, he was only a few years old, and they took him to the temple because they're presenting him to the Lord. And it's just this special moment where Mary gets to hear God's heart about her children. And so they're going to put it up in just a minute. But they have this thing where a lady named Anna came and prophesied over Jesus. And then another guy, I want to say Simon, I don't know, it's a gentleman, has a vision about him. And it says this. In Luke 2:22, then it was time for the purification offering as required by the law of Moses after the birth of the child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him before the Lord. Moms and dads, if you have children, it is so important to present them before the Lord. It doesn't matter how old they are. In fact, and now that I just spoke that out loud, I realize I haven't done it for my girls. So they'll be four soon, and they will be presented before the Lord. but it is. It's so important. So for you to say, this is a gift from God, and to be able to present it back to him and let people celebrate that with you. And then later on, when he's a little bit older, we find him at 12. It's in Luke 2, 41 through 51. And the whole family, everyone in the family is headed to Jerusalem. They're doing this Passover festival where they're going to celebrate and do things. And the festival comes to an end, and the family all leaves. And Jesus isn't with them. Isn't this a parent's like worst nightmare you're always afraid of? First service, I said that before I had kids, I would go to Disneyland. I would see the kids with like the monkey backpacks and the tail. And there's like a leash for the parents. And I was like, that is horrible. You should know where your kids are at. And I would put my kids on leashes now. I just buckle it to the parents. I don't care. Like, as long as I know where my kids are at, we're good. My kids will not disappear. I mean, they would disappear. That's why I'm going to buckle them up. So, and so, do you mind throwing up the last verses, verse 51? So while they're doing that, what I'm going to say is they had left. And I imagine that this is what it kind of looked like. So it's a lot of people that had traveled together to come to Jerusalem, and they're all leaving. And Joseph's probably like leading the pack with some of the guys, and Mary's chit-chatting with the girls following up. Sorry. And and so they're just thinking maybe Jesus with cousins. Mary's probably like, oh, he's learning how to lead the tribe with Joseph. And then they connect sometime and they realize, like, we don't know where Jesus is at. He's not with us. It's like the biggest fear of the parent. And all of a sudden they're probably miles out of the city. They have to go back, find him, and they're searching. How do they even know to go back to the temple to find him? But they did somehow. And they found him, and there's this 12-year-old little man sitting with the pastors talking with them about stuff. And the reality is, at this point, he wouldn't even have been doing that. He wouldn't have known so much of the word other than what he had just heard. They didn't have Bibles in their homes. You know, it was just different. And so his parents are like, Mary's like, what are you doing? Like, come on, let's go. And it says in verse 51, then he, Jesus, returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. And his mother stored all these things in her heart. I want you to grasp this, that she stored things in her heart. Sometimes the Lord is going to show you things about your children. He's going to show you things about your friends. He's going to show you things about your life. And there's a time and a place for those things to come about, but sometimes you just need to store them in your heart. Does that make sense? Protect those things that God's given you. Protect those words that God's given you for the right time and the right moment. So after this, we see that Jesus was baptized with water, like we saw today. We see that he was tempted, like we all are. We see that he collected a few friends. He called the disciples to be with him, which, side note, he had to have been a pretty impressive person because he didn't have a big business at the time. He didn't have a ministry. He hadn't done any miracles. And yet when he asked the disciples to follow him, they still did. And there had to be something about him that stirred something for these guys to be like, sure, I'll give everything up and leave my dad's business behind and come follow you. It just doesn't make sense to me. But here he is. He has 12 disciples. They hang out. And he teaches them good things. And we find ourselves at this wedding. We don't know a whole lot about the wedding. Some people think that it might have been a relative of Mary. It could have been. It doesn't say. If it was a relative, it wasn't a close relative of Mary's because it would have stated that in there. So somehow she loves these people, right? So do you mind pulling up the scripture? I'm going to read it to you, and then we're going to talk about it. The next day, there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were invited to the celebration also. The wine supply ran out, bummer, during the festivities. So Jesus' mother told him, they have no more wine. Dear woman, that's not our problem, Jesus replied. My time has not yet come. But his mother told his servants, do whatever he tells you. Standing nearby were 6 stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told the servants, fill the jars with water. When the jars had been filled, he said, now dip some out, take it to the master of the ceremonies. So the servant followed his instructions. When the master of the ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though of course the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. He said, hey, a host always serves the best wine first, he said. Then, when everyone's had a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine. But you've kept the best until now. The miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was the first time Jesus revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. And then after the wedding, after a few days, they all went away. So here we are at this wedding. I want to say one thing about Jesus took people everywhere with him. It's a part of discipleship. It's a part, a lifestyle that he had. And it's something that my husband and I are really big on. So I don't have Courtney here right now, but I have Pastor Eric and his wife, Pastor Courtney, came with them. They're amazing. They're from Pasadena. And their last name is Anestos. You need to get to know them. Make sure you come and meet them afterwards. But we just got them in Norco, and we're going to hold on to them as long as we can and then try to plant them out. I told them, please come with me and help me with the kids. I thought I just wanted someone to come with me, but really they did come to help me with the kids. I totally thought I could handle it. Mm-mm. No. We would have started church a lot later if I didn't have them here. So it's always great. Find people that you can pour life into. Find people that you can be shaped like. You know, these gentlemen, these disciples saw something in Jesus. And in just a moment, they're going to see the beginning of it all happening. And they got to be there for that. So make sure that you're finding people in your lives that you get to be a part of. Does that make sense? So things that we know about weddings during this time, they knew how to celebrate. Weddings were a week long. What if you had a really, and everyone from the village was invited, right? So what if you had a really big village and people got married like every week? It was like a year-long party. All you did was move from one house to the next. So the husband would bring them all over and they would all celebrate. And it talks about wine in here because wine is good to some people, and but only in small quantities. Here, they didn't take that advice. Why do I say things? So they're in. So they've run out of wine. Can I tell you this? The reason that they drink the wine is because they didn't have good water back then, and they didn't have filters like we do. Praise Jesus. If you live in Norco, they do not have filters in Norco. It's the nastiest water you will ever drink. It's so gross. But we don't drink wine like they did. We just buy a filter and do it ourselves. So we have this party going on, and so we know that it's week long. We know that it's at the husband's house, and we know that if you run out of wine at a wedding, it is humiliation. I mean, it talks about your planning, it talks about who you are, and you will be remembered for this. I mean, it is a big faux pas. You just don't do this. It's like we were talking about. It's like pizza. You don't forget. You don't run out of pizza at a pizza party. It's horrible. No one does that. And so you don't run out of wine at a wedding. And so, but it happened. And Mary must have loved this person because she cared. And she didn't have to care. Like, it didn't have to do with her. It didn't say that it was her family. It wasn't anything. But for some reason, she cared that this family was going to be humiliated. So she pulls Jesus aside. She's like, son, come here, come here. She's like, they're out of wine. And he's like, I know. This doesn't have to do with me. And I love that he went straight to the issue. Isn't it like Jesus to go straight to the issue? He doesn't beat around the bush like we do. And so he doesn't say like, I know. He's just like, it's not my time. It's not my time. And I love this so much because she says, it's okay. Gentlemen, do whatever he says. And she leaves. So like, I'm sorry, Jesus. I know you think it's not your time, but whatever he says, guys, you're just going to make that happen, okay? And she leaves. Such a mom's prerogative, right? She, like, sees it and makes it happen. And I think that this is me reading into Scripture, so don't quote me. You won't find it in here. But I kind of wonder what it was like for Mary because at a very young age, she was told, you're going to have a baby. It was before she had sex, so it wasn't really possible. And still, she went along with what God said because she knew that God wanted to do something good, right? And then she chose to be humiliated. She chose to live it out, and she had this baby in this dirty inn with these sweet little animals, and she knew this baby had something good inside of him to do. And they take him. And people are prophesying, and you know Mary's just eating it up. You know, like moms, when someone's talking about your kid, you're just like eating it up. You're like, yeah, he's like that. Yeah, I know. Like, I can't even be humble sometimes. I'm like, I know he's the cutest. I can't help it. He's just, I mean, I know Mary was just like, oh, you see it. You see what I see. You hear God speaking to you about this. Like, and then 30 years pass, and nothing has happened. What must that have been like? Where you're like, you kind of started me a little bit early on this. You know, this has been why can't we hurry things? He's just hanging out with these 12 guys, not doing anything. They go fishing sometimes. They don't really build chairs like Joseph's taught him to. You know what I mean? Like, You know, she's probably, or maybe it was the opposite, you know, like, okay, so my son is the firstborn, and he's always right. He really is always right. It's really horrible. And when he was little, we bought these little kid dictionaries, and we've read through them twice. He's just this smart child. I am not a smart child. I'm okay with that. My husband is. That's probably where he gets it. But the first day of school, he came back home and he said, "Mom, the teacher was telling him to be quiet, and they weren't. So I was telling them, like, she's talking." And I thought, "Oh, I have that child, the one that tells them to be quiet all the time, the one that tells them, 'Oh, get back in line.'" I was like, "Okay." So all the teachers now are like, "We love him. We can't wait till we have your twins." And I'm like, "Just wait. Just wait. Wait till you get Aubrey. It's going to be great. I'm going to get my in. They're going to like me now. And then they're just going to keep me. So it'll be great." But you know, when they, so I wonder, like, or was Jesus the one that, like, he had all the answers, like, quietly, you know, like, you know, it takes this many steps to get to the seed. And he's like, "Actually, it takes this many. Like, well, we did this. Actually, we did this. The other day we had chicken. Actually, we had lamb." You know, like, he just has all the answers. He's always correcting. He's always right. And he's like the obedient one. Mary's like, "I know. Yes, he's obedient. Okay, so he always has the right answers." Like, is she tired of defending him? 30 years of him being right, and people are kind of tired of it, right? And so, like, what was this time like? So I'm sure that the first miracle didn't happen because she was ready, but I'm sure she was probably ready. You know, like, "I care about these people. I don't want them to be humiliated. What are you going to do about this?" And he's like, "Sorry, Mom, it's not my time." "That's what you think. Okay. Whatever he says, just make it happen." And he does it. He does it. And I love that his first miracle happens at a wedding. Jesus's first miracle happens at a wedding. And what a beautiful picture, because he comes here because he's our bridegroom. Isn't that good? It's just a really, it's just a pretty picture that that's the first place he would choose to have his miracle. So he does it. He decides that he's going to listen to his mama. He's a wise man. And he takes care of these people. Jesus cared about him. He cared about their humiliation. He cared about their family. He cared about what people thought. And he stepped in. And he feels the same way about you. So here's what I want you to grasp today. Mary saw something in Jesus, and she called it out. She called it out of him. So I want to address moms first, because it's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Oh, sorry again. Good Lord. Moms, you know how you just know things about your kids? Like, you just see something. It's like this gut thing that you just know. I'm really, really big on names and meaning of names. And so Wyatt Azariah means will defender helped by God. And he is a defender to a T. If my girls run, I mean, their fault, they're running and they run into a chair and cry, he goes and kicks the chair. He is justice oriented. The teachers at school say that, like, if a girl cuts in line, like, he's okay, but he didn't say anything. But if a boy does, he gets really upset about it. And so he just has, like, this justice inside of him, you know? And but there's just things that I know. Like, I know he is tender-hearted. I know that he is loving. I know that he is crazy. And when he was up here, he was half duck, half chicken. You just let it be. Okay, be it. And so, but moms, you know? You know when you know about your kids, and they grow up and they might not fit what you know, but you know what's in there. Moms, do you know what I'm talking about? Yes. And it's not just for moms. I mean, dads, like, you definitely have a sense. You definitely see things. Friends, sometimes you see things in your friend and you're like, man, they're just not walking out what God has put in them. And so today I want to encourage you to call it out. Moms, call it out of your children. Remind them of the gifts that God's given them. Pay attention. Ask Jesus to show you what are the gifts that you have built inside of my son, and then listen when people tell you. Just at this graduation, I had a mom that came up and she said, "Can I pray for you? I've been discipling our daughter for a few years." And I was like, "Yeah." And I just thought she was going to be like, "Thank you for doing it. Let me be nice and pray for you." But I mean, she wrecked my world. She had words about my kids, about my husband. And she's like, "Your son is, he's very tender-hearted and he's kind." She's like, "Oh, but he's a defender." And she'd never met my kids. She's like, "And he's a prophet." And I captured that. And I'm going to ponder. I'm going to put that in my heart. And I'm going to pray. But I went home that night. I said, and that night, P.S., at 11 p.m. when he's still awake, playing his games, I sat him on my lap and I said, "Baby, you're so nice." And he does his thing. And I said, "You have such a good heart. You hear from Jesus." And he's like, "La, la, la, la," and ran away. But I'm calling it out. You know what I mean? Like, he's not, even if he doesn't grasp it in his mind, I know his heart's going to hear it. And I'm going to call it out of him. So today, what do you need to call out of people? Of your friends? Who are those things? But before we go any further, I want to address one thing. I recognize that there are some people that are here that you might not have moms that are going to call things out of you. You might not have dads or wives or husbands, family members. So I would like to call some things out of you this morning because I know what God says about you. Is that okay? So let's follow. In John 1:12, it says that you are a child of God. Isn't that so good? So this morning, it's Mother's Day. If you don't have a mama, believe me, you can find one here, I know. But you definitely have a dad. You are a child of God. John 15:15 says that you are a friend of Christ. That's so good. Okay, because let's be honest. You don't want to be friends with everyone, right? Some people are crazy, and some people talk too much. Some people are annoying. I know. It's just across the board, not everyone gets along. But no matter who you are a friend of Christ. Isn't that good to know?
Yeah.
So if you know you're that person, don't worry, you got a friend. It's okay to say that. It's so horrible. I'll never be invited back again. I'm so sorry. Okay, Ephesians 1:3-8 says that you are chosen and you are adopted. Out of the miry mess that was made up of your life, God said, "I want that one." He chose you, and not only did he choose you, but he adopted you. He brought you in to his family. Isn't that good? Okay, remember in elementary school when I hated these days. And they're like, "Okay, we're going to play kickball. This person's a coach and this person's a coach." And then they like dally everyone up. Like, I'll take you. And that last kid's like, "What team am I on?" Like, that's not you. You've been chosen. God chose you. Does anyone relate? No one did. Okay, it's just me. Good. Okay, I'm a little nervous now. Colossians 1:13-14, you are forgiven. Okay, isn't that good news that you've been forgiven? Thank you. 1 John 5:18 says that you are born of God and that the evil one cannot touch you. It is so good. Listen, there is someone out there, his name is Satan, and he has a whole bunch of friends, they're demons, and they want to kill, steal, and destroy your life, and that does not have to happen. We can definitely deal with some of that stuff, and you can protect your house. So I pay rent. I mean, I own a house. I pay my mortgage. It's mine. And so I go and I anoint all four corners of my property because it is mine. And Satan cannot have it. He does not have a part. He does not have a piece. He's not going to be a part of what is going on. And I will remind him of that about every 3 months. So, and Ephesians 2:10 says that you are God's workmanship. This is so good. Okay, do you remember the first time you, I don't know why I say do you remember, because I can't remember the first time, but you know like kids when they make something and it's like it's theirs, they're so proud of it, you know, and you're like, "I don't know what it is." And you're like, "Oh, it's a place for my rings." He's like, "No, it's a penny holder." You have no idea, but he's so proud because he made it, you know. Like that's how your God feels about you. You are his workmanship. Ephesians 3:12 says that you can approach God with freedom and confidence. I'm so glad that I can approach the throne of God with confidence. No matter how I might feel, I can always approach it with confidence. Ephesians 3:12. Oh, nope, I did that one. Philippians 4:13. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Praise God. Philippians 1:16. God will complete the good work he has started in you. Now, I don't know if anyone ever told you this, but God started a good work in you. He's going to complete it. And then he's going to start another good work. And it's just always, there's just always something that you're going to be working on. I thought maybe one day I'd be done and I wouldn't have to keep doing it. It's not. It's always. There's always something he wants to show me to work on. But he will always be faithful to complete it. It's good. Amen. And then Romans 5:1 says that you have been made right. You've been made righteous before the Lord. Isn't that good? No matter what you did. No matter what you think about, no matter where you've been made right. You are clean. He doesn't see you the way you feel. He doesn't see you the way other people might see you. He sees you as right. Amen. And that's so good. And for those of you that have people around them, I want to encourage you to call them out. Because sometimes we don't have the ability to see things inside of us that others can see. I remember I was here, and my mom sent me an email. It's just kind of a lonely time. You know, everyone has those times. They're just lonely. And I don't think I told my mom. It's just that season. And she sent me an email, and she reminded me, Mandy, don't forget you're right where God wants you to be. God's called you to be a pastor. And she even said, remember, God's called you to be a pastor's wife. Sometimes I hate saying that out loud. I am a pastor's wife. In fact, I barely make it to church on time, ever. And church starts at 10. See, that's why it was amazing I got here at 8. And my husband literally does everything. And I'm just going to be along for the ride. But I remember where I was sitting when God said, like, you will do ministry, you will be a pastor's wife. I think maybe he needed to humble me at the beginning, because then, like, I was a pastor for a long time before I was a pastor's wife. And I don't want to be someone who sits on the sidelines. It's not bad. Some people are called to do that, and they are great where they're at. But I want to do more than that. And so I think that God had to establish, hey, for a season, there's going to be a season where you're going to be sitting down and just relaxing. And thank God, I would be a horrible parent if I didn't. I would leave my kids in the desk. I'd be like, it's okay, don't brush your teeth, put on some clothes, mama's got stuff to do. And so I think at the beginning, the Lord had to establish something inside of me that said, hey, you're going to be working with someone, and you're going to be establishing this ministry together. And so she just reminded me, you're called to be a pastor. You're called to be a pastor's wife. Don't forget the things that God has spoken to you. And it was that in that moment that I was like, okay, I can do this. Like, it might not look like it. It may not feel like it. I might be tired. But okay, we can do this. And sometimes it just has to be called out of you. Mary saw something. Mary knew something deep in her soul about Jesus. And she called it out. She said, I'm sorry, honey, if you think it's not your time. It is. We're going to love on these people right now. And he did it. He followed what his mom said. He let her call something out of him. And the miracles that followed are life-changing. I mean, they just, even years later, were affected by them, right? But it started with Mary being obedient to say, I see something in you, and I'm going to call it out. So I want to take just a minute. What I want you to do is I want you to close your eyes, please. And I want you to think about who do you need to call out? Who's that person in your life that you see something in? And you're like, man, they're just not walking it yet. They just don't see it. If you're a parent, I want you to imagine your kids, because you know your kids better than anyone else knows them. And today, how can you call them out? How can you call your friends out? How can you call yourself out? What are those miracles that are being stuffed down inside waiting to be released? Go ahead, open your eyes. Today, you could be the person that releases a floodgate of miracles. You could be the person that reminds someone of who they are. You could be the person that calls someone off that ledge and they don't commit suicide because you remind them of who they are. Because we are all child of God, children of God. Oh my goodness. We are so loved. And if you don't know some of those things, we're going to have a team up here that's going to be coming up in just a moment. And we want to pray for you. And we want to remind you of who you are in Christ. We want to remind you of your calling. Because God has something really big for you. So it's kind of like all over the place a little bit. One thing, if you need something, we want to call it out of you. But the thing I really want you to grasp is I want you to walk out of here like Mary, on a mission, ready to get something started and call it out of someone. Does that make sense? All right, let me pray for you. Father, we thank you that you have a plan and a purpose, Lord, not only for us, but for people in our lives. And I ask that right now you would give us your eyes, you would give us your heart to see things as you see them. Father, to hear things as you whisper them. And may we be the people that make a difference in people's lives because we call them out. There are ministries that are waiting to be started. There are nonprofits that are ready to start running. There are miracles that are ready to open up. And people who don't even know who you are will know who you are. Because today we will call you out. We thank you, Father. We thank you for the plans that you have. Amen.
Amen. Can we have a hand for Mandy? Is that awesome? Yeah. I could just sit and listen all day. It's just so good. If we get our prayer team to come up.